This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality. Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Hey guys, that was Chicks and Dicks by Junior Senior. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And we are here to put the B in LGBTI here at Joy.
We are. And there are two of us in the studio, but we're going to have another to make us a triple.
We're having a pretty special guest on today, Julia Taylor, who's been launching a research project into mental health in people who are attracted to more than one gender, which is a little, topical for us being a bisexual program. So we're quite excited to have a chat with her later. But that's coming up, so stay tuned. Today, on the other hand, today is Harmony Day in Australia.
It is. How long has Harmony Day been going for?
I do not know. I know that Australia is the only country that calls it that. I think we're just talking before. The UN, it's technically the International Day Against Racial Discrimination.
Yes. Why have we used softer language around this, do you think?
Oh, I can think of a lot of reasons. Probably the same reason they managed to change global warming to climate change. It just sounds a bit nicer.
Right. Less confronting.
Less confronting. Speaking of being less confronting, it's interesting that it is Harmony Day and they have chosen that the federal government has announced they will be looking at watering down the Racial Discrimination Act. So interesting timing, yeah. I have to admit. They've done this before. I think they announced that they were going to be pulling back on safe schools on the, Australia's Day Against Bullying. Prime Minister Turnbull scrapped his staff's domestic violence leave on the International Day Against White Ribbon Day,
right.
So the Day Against Violence Against Women. So their timing's pretty spot on in a pretty awful way.
Well, it's quite cruel, actually, and they have advisors. There are teams of people who get together to inform these politicians when they make announcements, and surely the date is something they must notice.
You reckon? I think so. So you do have to wonder, like, what exactly was the agenda there? Like, was it to cause maximum impact? Was it to try and fly it under the radar? Who knows?
Harmony Day it is, and we fight, racial discrimination, and we come together to celebrate diversity, racial diversity.
Absolutely. And to fight against discrimination in all forms, I'm all for intersectionality. No one is free unless we all are, and people who face racial abuse is as much of our issue as people who face abuse, biphobia and homophobia, or a combination, as does happen.
Totally. And I have a Harmony Day story to share, and it was 2006, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, I used to play Aussie rules football. I played for a local football club.
Which one?
They are called Northcote Park. They're in the Northern Football League now. And I have a brother played elite football, but we won't go there. I won't embarrass him. Because I have his name, his surname, all of a sudden I automatically was labelled as a brilliant footballer. So I got asked to come and represent. Right? So we had the Harmony Day Cup at it. It's called Icon Park now, formerly Princess Park or Optus Oval, where Carlton's home ground is. And so they had the Harmony Cup carnival there, where Turkey was playing, Israel was playing, there was an Aboriginal team, there was Greece, there was Lebanon, and I got a call to play for the Greek team because I had a Greek surname. So I got to celebrate Harmony Day by playing for that team. I was hopeless. I could barely get a touch, but boy, I was looking forward to those showers after the game.
Did you get to wear a special jumper? I know they always have really nice designs, when they have the Spirit Week, when it's in respect for Indigenous cultures, they have incredibly beautiful jumpers, and there's been the rainbow jumpers for the Pride match last year.
Well, they are nice jumpers. I think ours look more like the Kangaroos, North Melbourne Kangaroos.
So just the
jumper.
Blue and white?
Blue and white, yeah.
Did you have the Greek, the cross?
No, we couldn't afford a fancy design because Greece was facing a fairly serious recession at that point.
Well, things have definitely improved since then. No. Oh, what jumpers will you guys get now?
Well, it was quite a celebration. It's celebrating lots of diversity in those change rooms, I tell you.
Well, I'm all for that. I have to admit, you know, I do find that when I watch football, given that they're making a huge effort now, you know, the AFL is making a huge effort to educate their fans and their players about the importance of acceptance of people of different gender identities and of different sexualities. But, you know, it's pretty gay. Like, seeing them kind of, like, tackle each other and roll around.
Yes.
And like, you know, the way they're wearing really short shorts and...
Yes.
And like, you know...
Tapping each other on the bum after they kick a goal to celebrate together.
Yeah, that's camaraderie in like the
hugging.
Kind of... Like, it's like the Spartans, you know? Like, it's... Yeah. It's kind of like this... It takes broship just to a kind of sexual place.
Well, it does, and I remember showering in large shower blocks. And sorry to keep going back into the change rooms, but in the large shower blocks together, and I tell you, I wasn't out then either, and I hid the fact that I used to go to gay clubs, but I wasn't out as bisexual then, and it was a fairly homophobic environment amongst all this sort of homoerotic kind of behaviour.
So there was that big thing of like, don't look for more than like 1 second and that sort of, it's like, I've heard this like, you know, rules in men's bathrooms about not talking to each other and right. stuff like that. Well, of course, like in girls' bathrooms, a lot of talking tends to happen in front of the mirrors.
Right.
Just in general. But yeah, I
had to rely on memory. As I left.
that just mental pictures.
Yes.
Oh, Anthony, you stop that. You stop that. But I think one of the things that we're going to be talking about with Julia Taylor, hopefully, is that, you know, the role that discrimination does play in mental health.
Right.
Because it's a big one. And, you know, the links have been shown in across all, like, both, you know, racial minorities in different countries, gender minorities, sexuality minorities, and the fact that it does have a direct impact on someone's mental health.
And I guess I'm looking forward to the conversation with Julia, because I mean, what impact is that having on our mental health? Is it different to sort of the impact that minority stress may have on other sort of marginalised groups?
And we've definitely touched on the show before that bisexual people do seem to, studies have shown that we suffer from more mental health issues than gay and lesbian people. So, but that has always just been part of like a broad overstudy where it shows like levels between and comparing the different groups and stuff like that. So, Ms. Taylor's study is entirely on people who are attracted to more than one gender. So, you know, whether you identify as bisexual, pansexual, or anything like, you know, under that umbrella, I just refer to bisexuality as an umbrella now, you know, it is, you know, there's now data that does show that you're more likely to have to be struggling with a mental health issue if you're attracted to more than one gender.
Right. And I guess one of the things that I've been thinking about also is it all kind of doom and gloom in terms of mental health? Because I think about resilience also.
Yeah.
I think about, you know, sort of finding some solace or safety or sort of connection or sense of belonging within the queer community, but then kind of being let down at different times or being sort of discriminated against. And how much resilience it actually takes to navigate your way through all that.
Exactly. And like, you know, I would think as well, people who have experienced mental health and have come through it, does that lead to high levels of compassion sometimes? And of course, it's different for everybody. But I do believe that when you have an understanding of what it's like to be in a very, very low place, it can help you empathize with the people who reach that situation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I imagine it also has a complete opposite effect though. So, you know, it'll be interesting to find out.
Well, my research says that bisexual people are the most compassionate people ever.
and what exactly makes up this research? Just out of curiosity.
Just every bisexual person I've ever met ever in my life.
Excellent. All right. Well, if you guys want to get involved in the conversation, you definitely can. You can message us on 0427JOY949, which is 0427569949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can find us on Twitter at Triple Bypass, and you can find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy.
And don't forget, folks, if you do miss any of our programs, you can log on to the Joy website, go to the Triple Bypass page, and you can find all our podcasts there.
Yeah, joy.org.au/triple bypass. No spaces, no dots, just Triple Bypass. I think there's also a pretty cool photo of us in medical gear, like we're doing a surgery. Do you get it? Do you get it, guys? Triple bypass surgery.
Gotcha.
I still think it's great. Please get involved in the conversation. It's one that we really love to have. I think actually one of our listeners was the person who put us onto the survey. So that was Jade.
Thank you, Jade.
Thank you so much, Jade. She sent us an email. By the way, please send us an email as well, just to triplebypass@joy.com. Is it joy.org.au? It's just at the mail as far as well. Yeah, that one. I'll double check that during the break. Don't worry. But in the meantime, we're going to go to a quick song and then when we're back, we're going to be speaking with Julia Taylor. So stay tuned for that. You're on Joy and this is Triple Bypass.
Ciao, this is Patrizio Buane and you're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9 coming to you this harmonious harmony day. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And that was Janelle Monae with her song Tightrope. Now, we were mentioning before the break that we're about to be joined by a pretty special guest. Anthony, you do the honors.
Yes. Well, we have a very special guest who's doing some very exciting things in the community. We have Julia Taylor on the line who's doing her PhD research on the largest bisexual mental health study. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello.
Hey, it's so good to have you, Julia. Thank you for finding the time. We've been so excited to hear about this study that's going on.
Yeah, great. Look, I was really excited to hear from you guys too and be invited to chat with you about it. I know I listened to you guys talking about it a few minutes ago in your intro and you're spot on. Basically, in a nutshell, it's called the Who I Am study and it's a national survey and what I'm really aiming to do is shed light on the reasons behind the high prevalence of poor mental health in the bisexual and pansexual population. So I'm really wanting to understand why bisexual and pansexual people have been found to have poorer mental health than lesbian and gay and heterosexual people.
What's led you to undertaking this study? Was it something you've been wanting to do for a while or was it like a sudden epiphany that happened in the bathtub or were you looking at other research? Well, no, I was thinking of the eureka moment. Get your mind out of the gutter, Anthony. Yeah.
No, or maybe for personal reasons.
Yeah, you know? I suppose that's another question.
Yeah, look, it's been a very long, slow epiphany. some years ago now, 2011, so I don't even want to think about how many years ago that was, because it feels like yesterday. But in 2011, I did a master's degree in sexual health. And I guess that was the first time that I was really exposed to those stats and data around LGBTI people and mental health. And when I found out that bisexual people actually had poorer mental health than lesbian and gay people, or, you know, heterosexual people as well, obviously, that I was really surprised by that. And, I mean, I suppose I'd sort of conceptualised that bisexual people's mental health would be somewhere between gay and lesbian people, which might be worst, and heterosexual people, which might be best. And, in fact, I mean, now I kind of feel in saying that that's a bit ridiculous because I've read so much now and I understand so much more about it. But at that time, I wasn't alone in thinking that. The researchers that were just starting to publish on that at that time, because we didn't know that before then, they also were surprised. So, you know, I guess the next question from there was, could that possibly be right? And in the last, you know, 6 years that have followed, there's been study after study in various countries that have found the same thing, that bisexual people have poorer mental health. So now I think we've reached the point that that's really well established. And now I think it's time to really ask that question of why. Why is that? Why do those stats exist? So, yeah, I mean, enter my study.
Fantastic. Well, I suppose there. I remember reading that study and I actually found it quite surprising as well, but it kind of felt like one of those affirming discoveries, like when you're like, oh, it's not just, you know, it's not just me. It's, you know, this idea that it was actually a prevalent issue. I think, I'm sure you would have found this as well in your studies, but bisexual people come out a lot less frequently than gay and lesbian people. I think it's the recent study said about 22% of bisexual people come out to friends and family compared to about 70-something percent for gay and lesbian people.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. The majority of bi people are not out. So, yeah, I mean, that's a key issue in itself. And I suppose when you scratch the surface looking at the bisexual experience and what things could possibly relate to mental health, there's just so much going on for bisexual people and not enough information about how that affects their well-being.
Yeah, and Julia, I guess I'm wondering about sort of coming to this sort of understanding and realisation that the mental health outcome for bisexual people is so much worse. And I think even as a bisexual person, I kind of was, when I discovered this information in terms of the research, I was sort of, I looked at it first and I thought, wow, that's what, really? Wow. And then I thought, well, hang on a second. Let me think about my life for a minute.
Yeah.
And it started to really make sense about sort of just how much work and effort goes into concealing and hiding and adjusting, and even in queer spaces that happens.
Especially in queer spaces that happens.
Yeah.
Julie, we actually just did get a message in from a listener. Loving the show, guys. What is pansexual? Hayes. Thanks so much for the message, Hayes. Pansexuality, to my understanding, is when you feel attraction, whether it's sexual or romantic, without gender being a consideration. So again, it's similar in that it's attraction to more than one gender. I think the difference, like I see between bisexuality and pansexuality, is pansexuality is attracted without gender being a factor, while bisexual people still, I think, gender does play a role in attraction, but. It's,
well, our lead investigator, Julia Taylor, might be able to add to that.
Yeah, Julia, have you found any input on this one?
Yeah, Ruby, yeah. Look, I totally agree, but I also think it sort of depends who you ask.
Mm.
And what I've learned in working in this space is that it absolutely, you have to let anybody that sort of sits under that bi umbrella, and I heard you use that term before, Ruby, and I use that all the time, anyone who sits under that bi umbrella, so has attraction to more than one gender regardless of their identity, they really, you know, they need to be allowed to define themselves in terms of their identity, because what I've found, even in bisexuality, which is something that, you know, I felt I had sort of fairly clearly defined before I went into this study, is that everyone that I talk to has a really different experience and understanding of what that means to them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think there are so many definitions of it floating around. And of course, bisexual, when it was defined as such, was still like, was a term invented when gender was still considered to be two, as opposed to a spectrum or a binary now. So it's interesting. Like, if you guys want to get involved in the conversation, you can also message us in on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. If you've got any questions for Julia Taylor or ourselves, please get involved, guys. We're going to go to another song and a short break. We'll be right back, and to have plenty more questions. I've got a whole page of them right here waiting for you, Julia.
Yes.
Great.
So, guys, stay tuned. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
We're Tegan and Sarah, and Australia's only LGBTI radio station needs your support. Sign up as a member now. Head to joy.org.au.
Thanks, Tegan and Sarah. And thanks, Missy Higgins, for that song, Scar. Missy Higgins, of course, is a pretty famous bisexual Australian singer. And you're listening to Triple Bypass. This is Ruby.
And I'm Anthony. And you're with listening to Julia Taylor, who's La Trobe University's researcher doing a very large study on bisexual mental health.
That's right. Thank you again for being with us, Julia.
Thanks for having me.
So before the break, we were having a chat about, you know, how you came to do this study and how a lot of research that had been done over the last 6 years had found, to the surprise of the researchers, that bisexual people were continuously, in no matter what country the study was done, shown to have poorer mental health than straight people as well as gay and lesbian people, which was not, I think, the results that were expected.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
Now, So this study was called, Who Am I?
Who I Am.
Yep, that's it, Who I Am, yeah. And you can find it, I'm still recruiting participants, so if there's any listeners out there that would be willing to give up a little bit of their time to complete the survey, that would be fantastic, and it's at whoiamsurvey.com.
Yeah, I did it, it takes about 20, 30 minutes. It's a good use of the time. Now, I know we haven't got the results in yet, so you haven't been able to like start putting all the data together and sorting it out, but do you have any theories going in about what the factors that are causing this issue with mental health may be?
Yeah, look, I mean, yes and no is the answer to that. before I developed the survey, I did a pretty enormous review of everything that's been written and done so far in this area, pretty much. And also I talked to lots of people. So I got lots of information and ideas about what might be going on. And I think discrimination comes through, you know, sort of the strongest in terms of reasons behind poor mental health. Mm. But in saying that, I also have read research that suggests that bi people actually experience discrimination less than lesbian and gay people. So for me, when I read that, I sort of thought, look, this is obviously a piece of the puzzle, but there must be other things going on. Mm. Otherwise, you know, if it were just discrimination, you would actually expect lesbian and gay people to have poorer mental health. And that just isn't the case. So, I mean, I've found a bunch of things that I think might be associated, but, you know, I won't know until I get my data back.
Ooh, I'm hanging to know which ones.
Yeah, I know. I'm really curious too.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you have mentioned many of them on your shows previously. So things like invisibility, obviously a massive issue for bisexual people, that you know, and erasure, actually. So that sense that bisexuality is essentially invisible, and really even in a kind of actual real-life sense, you know, that experience when you're with a partner, say, for example, a woman is in a lesbian relationship and all of a sudden everyone assumes that she's a lesbian, even though she's come out as bi. And then even if she comes out again in that same relationship a year later, people say, oh, well, she's probably a lesbian now, though.
Yeah.
So that whole experience of being invisible, or your sexuality being invisible, is a massive one in the literature and when I talk to people. And another one is stereotypes. So there are heaps of stereotypes. I'm sure you know them. Yes. Around about bisexual people. And I think that's a real experience for bi people. Yes. That, you know, can cut quite deep, actually. I mean, there's any number of other things. Identity, coming out and not being out, like you talked about, the negotiating intimate relationships. Like, there's just so much that it could, you know, it could be factors.
It's an interesting, I mean, the stereotype thing, when you said that, I thought, yes, I'm guilty of reinforcing many of those. But I guess one of the things that I noticed myself doing is acting, I don't know, let's just say camp, if I can call it that, and without actually explaining to people or disclosing my sexual orientation to people, and I notice that people make assumptions, and then I start to feel guilty that I've queered it up too much, and maybe I should tone it down a bit, because now they've made a comment suggesting that they think that I'm gay. Should I correct them? And sometimes it can just get a bit exhausting.
Yeah, they're kind of daily. And I think, you know, and you've obviously, you've got a pretty great idea of what's going on, Julia. But I think you're right. The illegitimization of our identity can be just like, and it's not discrimination maybe in the sense that it is defined as in people yelling in the streets or rejection,
sure.
But it's the kind of like, the, you know, the internalized frustrations and doubts and fears, particularly with, you know, I was thinking there's a fun thing on the internet, it's called bisexual bingo, when you can pick out all the common stereotypes people say when you come out as bisexual.
Right.
So do you want a threesome?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not just going through a phase?
Yeah.
And so forth. But
make up your mind.
Yeah, make up your mind. Stop. Get off the fence. But you did a short piece with the Star Observer back in the beginning of March, and you mentioned there about social acceptance. So, given bisexual people are often with partners of the opposite gender, you would think that wouldn't that grant them a higher level of social acceptance than gay and lesbian people receive? Like, you know, I think it's been referred to as we carry more straight privilege. I say that very heavily.
Yeah, look, that's such a complex one, isn't it? And I think, my theory is that is part of the reason why studies suggest that bisexual people don't experience discrimination as much. I think it's because, like you're saying, they often are in hetero relationships and often are not out. So they don't have people yelling at them in the street because nobody knows. Coming with that sort of, you know, obviously what is termed that kind of hetero privilege comes a very heavy burden as well, in that a sort of lack of belonging. And a lack of belonging is something that is talked about all the time in the spaces that I've been in and am working in now, but also that is starting to come through in my surveys. So while I haven't been able to do a big, deep data analysis yet, I'm certainly able to read some of the responses. And one thing that's coming through really strongly is that people feel that they don't belong in the hetero society, but they equally don't belong in the lesbian and gay society. And so there's this kind of exclusion into the middle ground that doesn't really exist, because there's not a big kind of vocal bi community to go and attach yourself to in most areas.
We're working on it.
We definitely are.
Yeah. Oh, look, you guys are doing an amazing job. I'm so, yeah. I commend your efforts.
Well, you're listening to Triple Bypass. You're here with Ruby and Anthony and lead investigator Julia Taylor, who is studying bisexual mental health, the Who I Am study. And we've got a message from Kiki that's just come through. So thank you, Kiki, for messaging in. Kiki says, it's great that Julia has undertaken this research, especially as there's still stigma surrounding mental health and that her primary focus is on bisexuality.
Amen.
Touché.
Thanks, Kiki.
Thank you, Kiki.
Yeah, and also, Kiki, you should check out the survey. It's a whoiamsurvey.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's right.
If you guys want to get involved in the conversation, if you've got a question for Julia, just message us on 0427569949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. And if you want to listen to this later, we'll make sure to put up the podcast at joy.org.au/triple bypass.
Yes. Well, we really appreciate the work that you're doing. And, I mean, you mentioned something about belonging, and it's so important that we create spaces wherever that is that that bisexual people can sort of look at and say, yes, that's me, I get that, I can relate to that. And I'm just so grateful that you've really undertaken this study to hopefully find some new things that we can really use to benefit our cause.
That was going to be my next question. So what do you plan on doing with the findings of the survey?
Yeah, well, firstly, I want to say thank you for thanking me. And I've actually been kind of overwhelmed with how appreciative people are that this study is happening. I really didn't anticipate that, but I'm regularly getting emails from people who've taken time out of their day to do it, but then take extra time out of their day to write to me and say, gosh, you know, this is so needed. Thank you. We really need some people that are looking at this area. So, I really appreciate that. And I think that that kind of talks to how important it is to people. But in terms of what I want to happen out of it, I've sort of got a big dream list of things that I want to happen. But basically, I love this research, the data, the findings, to firstly kind of influence academics and more research. So this study is going to be big and broad, and what it's going to do really is identify little pockets of areas that need further research. So I'm hoping that more research will come out of it. But possibly more than that, I'm really hoping that it will filter down to service providers and people that are working in bi advocacy and people that are, arguing for policy change and things like that, and that it will give them real data and real information to work from that will help them in their efforts to better support bi people. And I suppose even more than all of that, and ultimately what I'm really aiming for, is for it to actually help bi people. And it sounds a little bit kind of cliched, but I firmly believe this, and both of you spoke about legitimisation before, and Ruby, you were saying that when you read some research that said that, you know, the poor mental health, and Anthony, I think you might have said this too, that it made you feel a certain way and you felt not alone or you felt legitimised. Mm. And honestly, if just one person could read this study at the end and feel like they aren't alone and feel like, oh, other people feel like that too, or hear bi voices, because for so many people, they just don't hear bi voices. It's all been worth it, really, hasn't it?
Well, I think based on the response you're getting, I think, you know, it's already shown that it's worth it, that there was a huge need for this kind of a research. Look, we're going to be asking, these bi voices will be back quite soon. We're just going to go to a quick break with another song coming up by Frank Ocean. It's his new song, Chanel, which is a bit of a bi anthem, actually. Bisexual Rapper coming up. Stay tuned. You will be back soon with Julia Taylor. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy.
Hi, this is Sam Smith and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Triple Bypass with Ruby.
And Anthony.
And Julia. That's right. We have Julia Taylor joining us tonight to talk to us about the research she's undertaking at La Trobe for her PhD on mental health in the community for people who are attracted to more than one gender, or as we call it, the bi umbrella. Thanks again for being with us, Julia.
Thank you.
So we've been covering a whole lot about your research and why you've been doing your research on the show. If you guys want to listen to it or if you've missed parts of it, you can find the podcast at joy.org.au/triple bypass later. So I suppose, firstly, we just realised that we need to get you to promise to come back on the show once you've got the results in.
Yes.
Ah, yes. You have got my promise for sure.
Fantastic. Excellent. Oh, I can't wait. So when so how long are you leaving the survey open? So what's the windows here for the Who I Am survey?
Yeah, look, we're on the wind down now. So it's been open since before Christmas and it'll be closed in a couple of weeks' time. So we've got about 2 to 3 more weeks. So if you're listening and you haven't done it yet, please jump on and do it. That would be fantastic. And the more people, obviously, that we can get, the better the data is.
Absolutely. So that's you can find it online at whoiamsurvey.com. And now when you were talking, I think it was back March 6th with the Star Observer, over 2,000 people had completed it. Has that number gone up a bit since then?
It has gone up a bit, yes. It's slowly climbing every day, which is super exciting to watch, and I've become addicted to it. So, yeah, no, look, it's great. And you know, to put that in context, that's actually a huge number. So to our knowledge, this is the biggest study ever conducted exclusively of bisexual people. So that's pretty exciting in that we're going to have some data that's not just really relevant to us here in Australia, but also internationally. And I hope that this survey will help people kind of, you know, as broadly as possible.
I think, well, look, it sounds like from you're talking before about how you've been quite surprised by the response you've been getting, people filling out the survey and making sure to let you know how grateful people are that you are looking into this particular area, that it is an area that has not really been looked at individually before. And I think that's part of it, isn't it? It's like the bisexual community is, we're not part of, you know, we're not gay and lesbians. Yeah. We're actually a separate group.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly right. And giving people, I think, that opportunity to have a voice and to be heard is so rare for the bi community. And when you know, the bi people are asked to give their voice, to fill in surveys, to be a part of research, it's usually in the context of a much broader study. And often those questions and the research topics aren't really that relevant. So I think you're right. I think people are actually kind of excited to have the opportunity to share about themselves. And also I think bi people are more and more aware that we need this, that the bi community need this information, because many, many bi people are struggling.
Absolutely. And I think the queer community needs it too. And when, Julia, you said that one of the outcomes you're hoping for, and you had a great list, and we support all of those things on your list, was for services to be more informed, to be more inclusive of bisexuality and the very specific needs that bisexuality people may have when they are trying to access support services. And I guess that sounds a bit vague right now, but I'm really curious to know how services will integrate some of their bisexual inclusive practice into their sort of day-to-day practice.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's such an important area, and an area that I think I will put my time and work into when this study finishes, because I think that it's, you know, underserviced at the moment. Mm. And like I said, you know, I'm really strongly getting through from my participants already that they don't feel included in that LGB space, but also they don't feel safe in that LGBT service space, which that's the only specialist service provision we have for bisexual people.
Yes.
So if bisexual people are feeling like they can't access it or they don't belong there, that's a huge problem.
It is. And when I was, a few years ago, when I joined a 6-week support program for same-sex attracted men to process their coming out journey, I remember identifying in that group as bisexual. I was the only cisgendered male who identified as bisexual in that group. And I had one of the guys at the break say to me, "Bisexuality, what's this all about?" I'll never forget those words. That's exactly what he said. And I guess from that moment on, I became reluctant to use the word bisexual in that space. And
yeah.
I guess this is exactly why services need to be very aware of these sorts of things.
And not just services, the community in general. I think the affirmation that we'd have in just having a study, firstly, The fact that there's a study on bisexuality means bisexuality has to exist, which is a good starting point. But, you know, to have that evidence, which people might not be aware of, that, you know, our gay and lesbian friends might not actually be aware of, that their bisexual friends are not enjoying some privileged lifestyle, they are actually, they are as likely, if not more likely, to be suffering as they are. I think that's actually something that could be one of the more important things that does come out, this understanding that we're not. And I think there can be frustration, and I've seen frustration from gay and lesbian people who do feel like bisexuals are getting away with life without having to go through, having to deal with discrimination. And so I think having these kind of studies demonstrate that the discrimination we feel might be different, but the effects are the same, will be very, very important. And I really hope that the research is embraced by the community.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think you're very right. I think that the LGBT community is just as much in need of this information as the bi community. And when I was sort of preparing the survey, I did heaps of consultation, and I asked a lot of bi people what they thought of the survey, and, you know, was it inclusive, and all of that stuff. And what came out of that was that people wanted me to ask questions specifically about experiences in the LGBT space.
Right.
So I added those questions in that weren't there initially, because that's such an issue for people.
Well, I'm so glad they went in there, because it is such an issue for people. But the other thing we talked about a little bit in the intro was about resilience as well. I mean, yes, we can talk about impact and the sort of negative impact, but we're pretty bloody amazing as well. I mean, we're pretty resilient.
Oh, and also I think generally when you, like, there's, I'm curious to see, because one of the questions in the survey, which you can find at whoiamsurvey.com, is asking what you appreciate about being attracted to more than one gender. And I really liked that question. I hope that we do get to see some examples of people's answers, because I think there is something quite beautiful about being bi, and about being able to conceptually be able to fall in love with everybody and to see lovable things in everybody, and to understand that attraction moves beyond gender in a lot of ways. And I'll be curious to see how people respond. If you guys, please check out the survey, listeners. You can find it at whoiamsurvey.com. There's multiple choice bits. There's long form answers. You've got a chance to write an essay if you want to. You don't have to, though. Anthony was looking a bit nervous there.
No, I was just thinking many choices. Love lots of choices.
Gotta love, all the options. All the options. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us, Julia. It's been fantastic having you on the show.
Thank you. It's such a fabulous show, and it's been a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you, Julia.
She's great. All right, guys, we are going to head off soon. Coming up next is Miss Chatelaine with Katie Purvis, who's playing great new and recent Aussie folk, blues and pop tracks. So stay tuned for that later
can't
on.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, we will definitely be having Julia Taylor back on when she does have the results compiled to talk to us about the findings from her survey.
Definitely.
Which is, again, in case you've just tuned in now, is about basically the mental health of people who are attracted to more than one gender, and why it does seem to be seeing, why there are higher, there's more prevalent mental health issues in those groups. It's the first survey done of its kind. I think it's the biggest done that's solely on bi and pansexual people. We're all very excited.
Yes, and we have an amazing show lined up for you next week, but you're going to have to wait till next week to find out what that is.
So join us then, guys. We'll be back at 9 on a Tuesday. That's our favourite time now, so 9 p.m. And also check out this show later if you've just missed it and tune in at the end. You can find us at joy.org.au/triple bypass. Anyway, guys, enjoy the rest of your night. Stay tuned for Miss Chatelaine. You've been listening to Joy. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.